up, fellow board wrestling fans? It is I, the man with 6th-row tickets to SmackDown this Tuesday. Think so, Joe. Along with me, of course, Mr. JT.
I just have to let you guys know I don't have 6th-row tickets to SmackDown this week.
And our resident seat filler, G, from the internet.
That's right. And when I fill seats, I can actually fast forward to live events, so it's pretty awesome.
You even filled the host seat on this show before.
Before we get going, guess what I got an email this week for, guys?
What's that?
Guess who is coming to Syracuse and doing a concert?
Who?
One of G's favorite bands, the Tragically Hip.
Oh, the Hip. Are you going?
Probably not, but I just figured I'd let you guys know that. Since we were talking about it a couple months back, and you know who is the greatest band in Canada.
We love the Hip, even here in Buffalo. We love the Hip. We even have a famous Hip cover band here. They're called Strictly Hip. They've opened for the Hip before.
Hopefully, they consulted each other on their set list.
I would hope so.
I asked that because a buddy of mine does cover bands. I'm like, when you're on a bill with a bunch of cover bands, do you sit down and, you know, debate on who plays what song? He's like, yeah, actually, we do.
I would think you really have to. I mean,
I played a show a couple of years ago. It was it was supposed to be like a Dimebag Darrell tribute show, and there was supposed to be this Pantera tribute band there, and they couldn't make it for whatever reason, but we had this other band was playing, and they went on before us, and they played For Whom the Bell Tolls, you know, the Metallica song, and that's been a part of my set list for every single show I've ever played, and we had no backup song to play, so we just went up there and we're like, you know, those guys did the song, but we have a reason for doing the song, and we do it better anyway, so we're going to play it anyway.
Oh, I was at one time, and they did the whole, this one band, the opening band, they were terrible, terrible, but they just came out, they dressed up all 80s, you know, they had the poofy hair, the tight, everything, even down to, they pulled out a guitar, and they sat down and played when they did the final countdown, they were playing the guitar sitting down. But they're like, yeah, you'll hear all these songs later, but they'll actually be played better than what we're doing.
Yeah. That's like, that band came up and they started playing and we're just standing there like, what the fuck are they doing? That's our fucking cover song. We're just pissed off about it because we have nothing to replace it with. And we're just like, what are we going to do? They're playing it badly, so let's go up there and do it anyway and do it better. And then the band that was on after us did Seek and Destroy and blew everybody away. You know. Hey, real quick before we go on, I want to give a quick shout-out to Doc Knight. Doc's suffered an injury. He's in the hospital. Hopefully he's going to be all right. So, Doc, we're pulling for you, buddy. There's been a debate between us over what the actual cause is, but we'll just leave it at he's injured and in the hospital.
Yeah, that's all that really matters is we want him to get well. So,
exactly. We definitely want Doc to get well. I you know, it's not my place to actually tell you what Doc has said his injury is, at least not live on the air, you know, so... You know, just basically get well, Doc. We're pulling for you here. Speaking of pulling for people, Jerry Lawler came home on Monday. They showed him coming home on Raw. And speaking of Raw, it was from Bridgeport, Connecticut. And it started off with Paul Heyman in the ring. Paul Heyman basically wanted to set the record straight that the match at Night of Champions... was a tie, and that the referee made the right call, which he did. Can't deny it. Both of their shoulders were down. Of course, I ran into a friend of mine the other day, and he says, "Yo, but the referee couldn't see John Cena's shoulders down." Like, yeah, but his shoulders were down. He still made the right call. So who cares?
They should have gone to a shootout. But of course, what do we find out? What did someone in the audience contribute to answer this big dilemma? Was his shoulders down, Joe? What happened?
His shoulders were down. There was a YouTube video that proved as such, and Paul Heyman accused John Cena of getting said YouTube video taken down. To which John Cena replied, "I don't know nothing about technology. Listen to these people. They'll tell me I suck."
Yeah, and then what was his hashtag that he put on Twitter probably after that? I lied. Whoops.
I don't know.
I didn't use a computer.
Yeah, but then we get, Alberto Del Rio interrupts, and he complains that he got screwed over at Night of Champions, and I guess he's kind of got an argument too. We'll get into that. And then AJ comes out, and she says, well, I'm combining the two main events from last night, so later on it's going to be CM Punk and Alberto Del Rio against Sheamus, and wait for it, John Cena.
So basically, if you guys paid extra money to see these matches last night, we'll give them to you tonight at no extra charge.
Yes, but they're combined into one, and they're not title matches. Ooh.
They're super!
Super matches! Oh, I miss Tony Chimmel. I wish Tony Chimmel was on freaking SmackDown this week. That would have been great. Epico and Primo took on Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara, and the Luchadors won, and then were attacked by the Primetime Players, who says that they're the rightful number one contenders of the tag team titles, and they're going to take everything from now on, because they're doing the taking. And Eve took on Beth Phoenix. Eve, the new Divas champion, replaced Caitlyn at Night of Champions due to a mysterious injury to Caitlyn.
Yeah, Tonya Harding.
WWE, we stick to the plan, damn it.
Yeah, it's like, well, they found some way to do it. And Eve picks up the victory over Beth Phoenix, because that wouldn't happen if wrestling was real. We got Heath Slater versus Brodus Clay, who was with both of the Funkadactyls. They're back. And Heath Slater said, "That's not dancing, this is dancing." And he did his one-man band thing, baby. Got in the ring and jobbed. And we got our...
Kids awkwardly danced in the ring with the Funkadactyls.
Yeah. Then we got our newest addition to WWE Talk Showdom that debuted like 6 or 7 years ago, Miz TV.
Yep. It
re-debuted with his guest, Booker T. And he wouldn't let Booker T talk, so Booker T said, "I got a new guest for you." And Ryback came out and threw a freaking couch at the Miz. He threw a couch! He
also threw
a microphone couch
into the audience.
Yeah, and he threw a microphone into the audience. Goldberg! Goldberg! Oh, that's good stuff.
They're lucky, too, because if you think about all the things he could have said live to the audience, both on television and the arena.
Yeah.
PG television, folks, you're very lucky, WWE.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Of course, you couldn't hear it on the air. I mean, they managed to cut it off on the air. You could hear it in the arena. There's a YouTube video going around of it. Just guy grabs the mic. He goes, "Goldberg, Goldberg," and then they chase him down and get the microphone back. I'm sure the guy got kicked out. Even though it wasn't his fault, the microphone ended up in his hands. Mm-hmm. Josh Matthews asks CM Punk if he's looking forward to teaming with Alberto Del Rio, and Punk says he's not looking forward to teaming with anyone. He walked in as champion last night at Night of Champions and walked out as champion. Dolph Ziggler versus Santino Marella. And Ziggler wins, of course. You know, it's funny. I saw somebody on SmackDown said something like, "Oh, these things are always true," and one of them was Dolph Ziggler always loses. He apparently doesn't, because he won on Raw. Wade Barrett is open for business, and he takes on Justin Gabriel and beats him with, that forearm thingy. R-Truth is celebrating Subway's birthday, and he gives sandwiches to R-Truth and Kofi Kingston, Damian Sandow, and Zack Ryder, and then Ryback walks in and just says, "Feed me more." Jared hands him a sub, and he takes another one. Guess all that moving made him hungry.
Well, apparently he eats like 10 meals a day, so he's getting his backup plan.
He didn't throw a delicious Subway sandwich at the Miz. He threw a couch at him. If I ever need to move
again. The extra sandwich was for little Jimmy. I mean, you can't let the little guy starve after all.
Yeah, I think R-Truth did get one for little Jimmy.
He did, yeah. He asked for one.
Okay. I can't remember, man. That was a late night haze. Raw has become a late night haze for me.
Oh, I'm sure it has. let's see. Daniel Bryan and... It's just... this review skipped right over whatever. I don't know. I mean, Sheamus is thinking about his victory over Alberto Del Rio, tells John Cena not to doubt himself, and that this match is important because whoever wins is next in line for a title shot, and Sheamus says, when they win, they're going to go out and celebrate. Oh, and then he named off all the holidays that were going on. We're going to have a pint for the 12th of May. 16th of May, whatever it is, that Mexican holiday. So we got Daniel Bryan and Kane against Kingston and R-Truth. And Kane and Daniel Bryan win. Daniel Bryan tagging himself in, putting the no-lock on R-Truth and winning the match. That's how that one went. And Tensai versus Randy Orton. Randall, Keith, Orton won the match. David Otunga approaches Paul Heyman and CM Punk, tells them Alberto Del Rio expects them to follow his lead. Heyman says Punk follows nobody's lead. Then they go back and forth with both Otunga and Heyman speaking for their respective clients. Damian Sandow defeats Zack Ryder. John Cena and Sheamus beat Punk and Alberto Del Rio, but Punk's foot was on the ropes when the referee counted three. Punk protests, but the referee says, "I didn't see it. You just saw it on the big screen." Like, yeah, I did, but I didn't see it in the ring.
There's no instant replay here in WWE.
Yeah, exactly. But Punk, much like Cena the night before, was trying to get the referee to restart the match. But that wasn't happening. So, that's how Raw ended. Yeah, thoughts on Raw?
I don't know, meh.
Yeah.
It was a subpar episode. I half of the stuff you just capped I watched and I don't remember any of it.
Yeah, I hear you. It was coming back to me as I was reading it. It's like, oh yeah, that happened.
I think it's you know, pretty much the type of thing we seem to always get after pay-per-views. I don't know if JT caught any of Night of Champions. I did watch the whole thing, and I actually really I really enjoyed the majority of the card. I was quite surprised, and I have no problems with the the draw. I think there's room for the occasional draw in wrestling. We don't see it very often, but if it becomes a trend, I'm not going to be happy. I think it's better to make it special in the sense that it makes sense for these guys both to not really beat the other guy. I mean, in one case, you have the whole, lead up to Hell in a Cell, so Punk should retain, but you can't really have a guy who's debuting, a cause or, the whole charity thing with the breast cancer awareness month and a half lose either. So I'm quite I'm fine with the finish. I don't know what you guys think about that, if you want to talk a little more about the so-called screw job ending for the pay-per-view and the live audience.
I'm perfectly fine with it, honestly. I mean, like you said, if it doesn't become a trend, it's better than not having a clean finish. They had a solid match, a solid clean match between the two of them, and it would have just killed the whole thing especially on a pay-per-view, to have somebody come out and interfere and you know, cause a disqualification, have some kind of schmoz ending, some kind of actual screw job, you know? I think the tie, the draw, makes sense. I don't know about you, JT. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with both what you guys said. No.
What about the idea or the criticism that's been floating around that general manager should come out and, well, in this case, AJ, skip out and restart the match for a finish? Or do you think just the ending as is, just whatever, screw that argument? It's one or the other, really, on this one.
It's nice to not have the GM come out every 5 seconds and change a referee's decision. The referee said it's a draw. The referee said that's final. That's final. You know, what the hell's the point of having a referee if the GM's just going to come out and say, nope, that's not right?
Yeah.
I'm fine with the ending. Yeah. Absolutely fine with it. Got no issue whatsoever.
All right, then, Internet, you heard our opinions, and, you know, in all fairness, you might disagree with us, but here at Board Wrestling Fan, we've come to a decision, and it was a tie, and it was a good one. Screw off and quit bitching.
All right, I watched the first half hour of Impact. I didn't watch the whole show. I meant to go back and watch it, and then I got home, and I'm like, fuck this, I'm making a pie. So, and then later on, I burnt the hell out of my finger, and here I am. So let's see, we started off with some video packages, and then in the hallway, we saw Shaq, and then AJ Styles and Kurt Angle came to the ring, and they called out Chavo Guerrero and Hernandez. And apparently the winner would be the number one contenders for the tag team titles, I guess.
Yeah, they had to dig themselves out of the hole they dug last week, where right. If either of the guys won their respective matches, they'd be a number one contender. Well, now you have two of them, so
right.
That made sense. I can't be too critical here. I mean, they had to figure out a way around this problem, and well, that's the easiest way to do it. Make them score off. So
yep,
you know, whatever.
All right. And that match ended with, let's see, Chavo delivered Three Amigos and Point of the Sky, got booed. Oh, the match got thrown out because Kaz and Daniels came in and attacked both of them. So they still haven't dug their way out of the hole.
Not entirely, but they're going to have their rematch. Or actually,
no, Hogan came out and Hogan said it's going to be a triple threat match at
that's right.
At Bound for Glory.
So they kind of get their rematch, but, you know, now we got a three-way tag team match dance. As yeah. Awkwardly as it sounds, but it's not King of the Mountain, so whatever.
Then we got Al Snow being asked about his haircut.
Yeah. I know.
Gut check contestant Evan Markopoulos. I hear it was bad, but we'll get into that in a second. Hulk Hogan is shown on the phone talking to Joseph Park. He told someone off camera to let them know when they're back from commercial. According to one side of the conversation heard, Hogan wants Park to come right to security and meet him in the building. Hogan acted excited when he heard that Park has the evidence in his hands right now. And so that means he's got to get to the building.
That's going to be tough. They're locked down.
Yeah. Dixie Carter was shown talking to Bruce Pritchard about an unidentified topic. Carter then mentioned Aces and Eights having them locked in to where they can't do their jobs. Pritchard said he doesn't know if them locking out Aces and Eights is the best option. The audio was thrown off at some point, and Al Snow walked in the office. Dixie said they'll discuss it later. Yeah, I hear the audio sync was off for half the show, too.
That segment, it was brutal. It was totally messy.
Evan Markopoulos is in the ring where Jeremy Borash introduced this month's Gut Check segment. And Markopoulos did some bit pretending to be surprised by the camera in the ring before posing for the crowd. Random music then played to bring out Doug Williams as Evan's audition opponent tonight. And of course, Williams won, because you can't let the Gut Check guy go over the TNA guy. I don't think they have yet, have they?
No, but Of the ones we've seen, he was not the worst. There's no Tris Louie in this particular segment, so by default it was better than that. I don't know. He bumped really well. The kid's only 18 years old, too, so he's a little bit of a stick. It was basically your classic young boy gets beat up by the veteran match. I don't know. Of all the people they've had on to go to developmental, this guy I think has probably the most potential just because of his youth. And I guess he's been wrestling since he was 13 years old, so it's not like he's totally green.
This is what the Impact review I'm reading says about it. It says, Evan didn't embarrass himself, and he showed hints of charisma, but he's about 5 years away from being a national TV star, needing to fill out physically and get his timing down. Would you agree with that assessment?
Yeah, that's fair.
All right, James Storm is shown walking down the hallway. Today said Storm is going to call out Bobby Roode. Let's see, Storm Roode feud video package. Storm comes to the ring, and he, called out Bobby Roode. And Bobby Roode came out not dressed to fight. And let's see, he said something. I don't know, I'm looking for it. You saw the show, tell me.
I kind of zoned out during a lot of it. I don't remember what he said. It was, I remember the sentiment was basically the same thing that has been, you know, going on for a while. It's just basically, you know, their feud continues with no real definitive ending. They might have a match at upcoming pay-per-view. I really don't know.
Basically, Roode said he's done with Storm as far as he's concerned and walked off. Hulk Hogan came back. He said, well, you know, it's open fight night, so you have to fight. And basically told him he's fired if he doesn't. No more title shots. You know, none of that. Give him 3 minutes to make up his mind. Conveniently, the length of a commercial break. James Storm's still in the ring after 3 minutes. And, well, Bobby Roode comes out and they brawl all over the building. And the match is thrown out at 6 minutes, 25 seconds. And they kept fighting. And Earl Hebner gets tossed aside, or Brian Hebner, whichever one of the Hebners, gets tossed aside, and they keep fighting out the back door. And Hogan wasn't paying any attention. He was in the middle of a conversation with a backstage assistant asking where Joseph Park is. The man said, Park has his credentials to enter the building, but hasn't seen him yet. Hogan suddenly got buzzed on his phone by Aces and Eights. According to the one-side conversation, Aces and Eights has hired a corporate lawyer to represent them. Hogan said he'll play their game, but he'll think about it. Hogan told Aces and Eights he'll get back to them. Hogan then shouted after the backstage assistant not to look for Park, because he knows where he is. Austin Aries...
Yeah. I kind of wanted to interject, because I do remember this.
Please
segment.
Do.
This makes no sense. It makes no sense. They're not employees. They're trying to break in and assault employees at TNA. What is their corporate lawyer actually going to be arguing for their case, that they're allowed to do this? You know, my client should be able to commit criminal acts and of assault and break and enter. Dumb. Continue.
TNA World Champ Austin Aries, the number one contender, Jeff Hardy. Aries approached Hardy to discuss their TNA title match. Aries said everyone thinks it's about Hardy going after his title belt, but he wants what Hardy has since he's accomplished a ton in his career. Aries says he wants Hardy's Hall of Fame career and his bank account. He said he wants mindless sheep following him just like Hardy. Aries says he wants to prove that anything Hardy has done, he can match. He told Hardy it's not about Hardy chasing his title, but about him chasing what Hardy has accomplished. Hardy didn't take the bait on Aries' backhanded remarks, and Aries walked off. Tara's music played to bring out a heel Tara after she turned on Knockouts champion Miss Tessmacher last week. A replay of Tara turning on Tessmacher, and then Tara took the mic and said people discussed her for even asking about her actions. She said everyone uses her, including a guy with a sign. Tara said her new boyfriend, who lives in Hollywood, California, opened her eyes to remind her that she is the best female wrestler there is. And she called out Brooke Hogan, saying she used her too.
Wow.
Tara then called out her victim for the night, Christy Hemme. Offstage, Hemme wondered what's going on. Tara told Hemme to get in the ring. Tara mockingly told Saddlebags not to let her fans down. Hemi entered the ring and told Tara she's an announcer, which Tara shot down. She told Hemi to show her some respect. Asked her who her favorite knockout is right now. Hemi replied, Testmacher. Tara slapped Hemi, so Testmacher hit the ring to make the save.
You know what I just realized last night?
What's that?
Testmacher is a character in the Superman movie. I was watching Superman 2 last night, and I heard Miss Testmacher. I'm like, oh wow, that's where TNA borrowed it from.
I didn't know Brooke Adams was in this movie.
She's aged really well, I guess. You know.
Yeah. Backstage, Brooke Hogan called out. No, wait, hold on. Hulk Hogan was shown walking down the hallway. Remember those quotes from Dixie Carter a few months ago about being upset when people take up too much TV time on Impact? Apparently enough time has passed where the thought process is people won't remember and Hogan can fill up the show again. Kind of like this review. Another Hogan, Brooke Hogan, called out Tara in the hallway. Brooke asked Tara what she was thinking, calling out Christy Hemme, who isn't even a wrestler. Right. Brooke said she respects Tara, but she doesn't like her right now. Brooke said there will be consequences next week. Today said it will be Championship Thursday next week on Impact. He said the television title will be decided. And, let's see. Hulk Hogan made his way out to the stage. Took the mic and vowed to spray paint everyone in the building. Hogan then addressed Aces and Eights, saying they grabbed Joseph Park and they're holding him hostage. He said as long as he knows the rules, he doesn't mind playing. Hogan says Ace and Eights wants him in the clubhouse next week, so he'll play. Clubhouse, play. We got a bunch of 8-year-olds running the Impact.
And SmackDown, apparently, but we'll get to that in a moment.
Yeah. Hogan said the word on the street is that even though they're bottom feeders, they keep their word. He told the group to release Joseph Park out of good faith. He wants him back now. A garbled voice interrupted the proceedings. On the video screen, an Aces and Eights member addressed Hogan. He accepted Hogan's invitation to meet them in their clubhouse next week. And Aces and Eights addressed Joseph Park, saying he's gotten too close. He says after looking at his computer, they've determined that Joseph is pretty good. Some other guy then bashed Joseph Park's computer, trapped him inside a cage, and Park shouted, "It's 3 weeks of work." He blurted out something about having the information backed up, and then one of the members smashed him in the head with a hammer.
Oh, God. I'm really worried we're going right back to the Abyss thing with, like, some amnesia gimmick.
Park sold his unconsciousness. The crowd groaned like G just did, and Hogan flared his nostrils in the ring. I hear you. I like the Joseph Park character. I don't want it to go away and instantly become Abyss again.
The Abyss had his time. He had his moment in the sun. He was good at, you know, the initial start of his character for a good number of years. But characters need to evolve and change. And if it's just going to be like completely reverting back to it, we're just going to fall into the same redundant sort of storylines. I don't have interest in it. I mean, I might be, you know, just one voice, but I have a feeling there's probably a good percentage of fans that would agree with me on this one, including yourself, as you just noted. You know, Joseph Park is gold, man.
Absolutely.
He's not boring. He's not jumped the shark yet, and that's what I would argue Abyss did, you know, for at least 3 years after the fact, and he was still doing the same old crap. So... Well, we'll have to wait and see here, but I don't know. I'm kind of being a little bit pessimistic, I realize. We'll see.
All right.
Wait, there's more.
Yeah, show's not over yet. You would think so, but it's not. Let's see here. There's a Jeff Hardy video package. Austin Aries comes out. He says that was a nice little video package. And he calls out Bully Ray for open fight night because he thinks that anything Jeff Hardy can do, he can do too. And, well, Bully Ray proved him wrong. Bully Ray beat Austin Aries for 1-2-3 in the middle of the ring. Bully Ray beat the world champion. I know G's thoughts on non-title matches.
Yep, he is your new world champion, folks. Bully Ray! Woo!
He ought to be.
I don't mind Bully Ray looking strong as a viable threat, but yeah, I hate when you have a champ not defending their title. It's just, it's not a tag team match or something where it makes sense someone couldn't win the title. Singles, terrible. Bad, bad booking.
Absolutely, but Jeff Hardy comes out and he stops Bully Ray from hitting Austin Aries with the title, and Austin Aries snatches the belt back from Jeff Hardy, and they go face to face, and that's the end of Impact. Man, that didn't sound like a very exciting show at all.
No, it was another episode of meh. It's been a very meh week, to be honest with you. Outside of the pay-per-view, I think.
Pay-per-view was great, and everything else just went into a holding pattern. Let's see. So, start off SmackDown by finding out our main event is World Champ Sheamus and Randy Orton versus Alberto Del Rio and Dolph Ziggler. Geez, already Yay. Disinterested. As is pretty much everybody else. Like, so you got Randy Borton, Alberto Del Snoro, and... what do you call them? Unmixed strawberry yogurt?
Yep.
And the next Shawn Michaels, Dolph Ziggler, is the only highlight of this match.
But wait a minute. That's not the SmackDown I saw.
No. All right, go ahead. Tell us about the SmackDown you saw.
Well, no, I saw the same one. I thought you were going to go with when you were going to go through the whole thing, because pretty much that was advertised the main event, but what else, what did we get the whole night?
We're going on with it. Hold on. Of course, you know, I mean, we can't go on with this SmackDown review.
That's what I saw on SmackDown, but then I saw this too.
I'm saying that was advertised as the main event. Yes,
you
I
think
saw
you
it.
Know me?
Yeah.
Former World Heavyweight Champion Edge returns to SmackDown to promote his appearance on Haven later on in the night on Sci-Fi. Yeah, interest level back on. Gee, you're absolutely right at that statement. And Edge is here to confront Daniel Bryan and Kane, or as we like to call them, Team Friendship. And that was just epic. He talks to Daniel Bryan, and Bryan says, I have everything under control. That's how I am the tag team champions. And Kane came out, and Edge starts yelling at him. He's like, what? Like, you and I have destroyed each other. He's just yelling at him and jumping around and getting excited. And Kane cuts him off. He goes, Edge, you seem angry. Dr. Shelby has some great relaxation exercises you should try. It's great stuff. they go for the group hug. And Damian Sandow interrupts. And basically says nobody really wants to see this. And Edge decides, hey, I'm going to set up a match. It's going to be Damian Sandow against one of these two. And they pick Kane. So Edge and the audience did Booker T's job for him. We come back. It's Damian Sandow taking on Kane with Daniel Bryan ringside. And pretty solid match. Sandow does pretty well, but Kane gets him set up for the chokeslam. When Daniel Bryan gets up on the apron with the tag team title belts, starts screaming, I am the tag team champions, distracts Kane, allows Sandow to roll him up and get the pin. Damian Sandow defeats Kane on SmackDown.
I'm cool with it.
I'm good with it. I'm a Damian Sandow mark.
JT has something to mention there back in the Edge segment. What was that, man?
I completely forgot.
Okay. I could hear you popping in on that audio, but I was like, oh, I don't know what you said.
Well, no, he was saying, well, like, well, the beginning conversation was, I made the comment, that wasn't the main event I got. And...
Oh, okay, I get what you're saying, yeah.
This is how I, you know...
I get what you mean. It. All right, yeah.
They advertised the one main event, and, well, it wasn't really the main event.
Nope. Edge, by the way, for those of you that are not aware yet, he is now on Twitter. Hell has frozen over. Pigs have flown. The great Khali had a good match. Edge is now on Twitter. You can follow him. You can follow him at Edge Rated R.
Khali will never have a good match.
I think that was the joke that Edge was making with that statement.
I don't know, man, because I've seen a lot of pigs flying with parkas on lately, so...
Yeah, but that's because you live in Bizarro Land, so...
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome up here. You know, we got Bizarro Superman. It's like John Cena, who's a heel. It's so much better, guys. Seriously, you gotta move here.
Kane is throwing stuff around backstage. He's wondering where Daniel Bryan is. He runs into Dr. Shelby. Dr. Shelby tries to calm him down. Kane calls Bryan a goat face and said he's going to rip every single hair out of Daniel Bryan's goat face. Daniel Bryan pops out of his storage crate and they start arguing, and Dr. Shelby says, would you feel better if I put Daniel into a match later on tonight, if I talk to Booker T? Kane says, yes. And Daniel, would you like...
Sorry, Cartman mode. Continue.
Daniel, would you like it if Kane didn't rip your little whiskers out of your face one by one? It's good stuff, man.
Here's some animal crackers for both of you. Pat you on the head.
Yeah.
I didn't mind this segment as much as, well, let's continue with the review, and you'll probably, if you didn't catch SmackDown, it'll become clear why it got a little worse as the show went on.
Where'd you get this gif of Randy Orton working in the factory? Randall, Keith, sorry. Orton.
Oh, Orton.
Alberto Del Rio is waiting for Booker T in his office to demand to find out why Booker T reinstated the Bro Kick at Night of Champions. Booker says he felt bad, but this is not ballet, sucka! And ADR... he's got another chance to earn his shot if he wins his tag team match tonight. Basically, Del Rio's issue wasn't that he reinstated the brogue kick so much as that he did it right before the match.
That was kind of a douchebag move.
Yeah.
First, he bans it, like, mid-match, which is, you know, unfair to the unmixed strawberry yogurt man, but... I don't know, that was one of the matches that I felt was a bit of a letdown on the pay-per-view because of that stipulation changing right at the... I mean, it kind of ruined it, I felt, for me as a fan, because it's like, okay, well, now I know the outcome, thanks. Just spoiled their own match people paid for. Good job, WWE! Golf clap!
Yep.
WWE doesn't care.
Yeah.
They got their money. They'll get their money the next couple of months.
Vince Bettman, man, I hate that guy. Oh.
Layla versus Natalya with Eve on commentary. Again, the talented diva jobs.
The only thing I got out of that match is I watched Eve walk down to the ring and sit down, and then I had to hit fast forward because I just...
Yeah. I watched it live.
Yeah, really. What does NFG stand for? Take a guess. I won't reveal the truth, but you can guess. Feel free.
No fucking good? I don't know. Close. I don't know. JT, you have a guess?
Yeah, Layla went with the nut fucking gut.
Okay, I'll reveal it. It's not for G.
Gotcha.
I thought it was like a little plant. Everyone's be like, "Yeah, you're making some sort of profanity." No, I saved that. I don't abbreviate profanity. I just fucking said.
Yeah. Just like this. World champ Sheamus and Randy Orton versus Alberto Del Rio and Dolph Ziggler. Finally, something refreshing. Yes, this cold beer hits the spot. This match, on the other hand, stinks of repetition. Fuck this. Oh, boy. I don't remember this match. I watched it, but I do not remember it. ADR got RKO'd. Ziggler grabbed the briefcase. He got brogue kicked, and Sheamus and the other guy won. Randall, Keith, Orton, that guy.
The only fun thing I found about this match is it gave me an excuse to like put cryptic suicidal tendencies into it. You know, I just wanted a Pepsi, damn it. Oh well. You like that? Oh yeah. I should have put that in the friggin' thing, but oh well. I'll save it for another week. I was drinking a cold beer anyway.
Well, at least we know. At least we know someone else doesn't like the fact that mediocre colleagues are gonna return.
Yeah, I feel bad for that kid.
Cody Rhodes versus Daniel Bryan. Dr. Shelby convinced Booker T to balance out things for our toddlers. And, well, Bryan was going for the no lock. Kane's pyro went off. And Rhodes hit the crossroads and picked up the win. Backstage, Daniel Bryan's running around looking for Kane. Finds him chuckling, feigning innocence. They both acknowledge that they screwed each other over. And they argue. And then they notice Damian Sandow and Cody Rhodes watching them. And ask them, what are you looking at? And Rhodes and Sandow say, oh, you guys are a joke as tag team champions. They say, well, prove it. So you bet you can't beat us. So.
Now, here's go ahead, JT.
And, well, don't forget they run off. So Rhodes and Sandow run off scared. So, you know, hopefully they should have ended it right there. But, you know. Nora, this is going, kiddies.
Yeah, well, I've been hearing, I don't know if it's just like a meme or something the fans have come up with on the internet, calling Sandow and Rhodes, giving them a tag team name. I believe it's Rhodes Scholar. I don't know if that's legit, but I really like that name, to be honest.
That is
with
a
you.
Really cool name for them. That's a great team name.
Yeah. Anyway. Makes sense. Yeah, I know. Did you guys... I guess if you didn't hear it either, maybe it is. I was wondering if I'd somehow missed that when I was suffering through the episode, but... Oh, radio, back to mid-card hell I go.
He picked up the win on Saturday Morning Slam.
Over I did see that.
Over William Regal.
This morning. Yeah, that was a fun match, actually. I'm liking Saturday Morning Slam. I don't
it's
care.
Great. It's great. They're in the middle of a match, and Regal's got him in like an abdominal stretch. He's like, oh, I got him now. And Santino goes, no, you don't. He says, yes, I do. They just go at it. It's great. Oh, I love that show. It's so much fun. I mean, if you're like a hardcore wrestling fan and you hate the childish kind of stuff WWE does, you would hate this show. But the show is so highly entertaining if you're just looking at it for the entertainment value of it.
Well, and even the matches have been pretty decent.
Yeah.
You know, I know they have the no-neck rule and all that other stuff, but it kind of forces them to think outside the box, and they've done a good job at it so far. Like, I think I've seen the last three. I missed the first episode, but...
It's a really fun show. I caught the tail end of the first episode, and I've had it on my DVR every week, and I make a point to watch it because it's that entertaining. Anyway, back to SmackDown.
That's great.
So Brodus Clay and something happened. What happened with Brodus Clay? What did I miss?
It's just the new Job Squad or something.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. Okay. It's Brodus Clay versus Heath Slater.
You done got knocked the fuck up.
Brodus Clay versus Heath Slater. Brodus gets jumped by Jinder Mahal and Drew McIntyre, the new stable known as Encore. I'm not making that up.
Is that what they're calling them?
That is the new stable, Encore.
Oh, God. And the word core is in there, and that's...
Get it? Ha ha ha, Encore. Well, you did notice on Raw they were chanting, we want Nexus.
Stole the word, took the words right out of my mouth.
So anyway.
How long before what's his face is there? Justin Gabriel and what's his name? Tyson Kidd join up Brodus Clay for a 6-man tag team to defeat the forces of Encore.
We'll have to just wait and see. Anyway, United States champion Antonio Cesaro versus Santino Marella. And it was a standard match between them. The Cobra got distracted and Antonio tore it off. Except for this time, when Oksana went to grab the Cobra out of the ring, she fell in, she got hurt, she distracted the referee, causing Cesaro to actually lose the match. And then after the match, by the way, the non-title match, after the match, he says in 5 different languages, as G said, pretty much that she could go fuck herself.
That's what she said on my television. I don't know. You guys must get a lot of censorship down there.
Well, yeah, you got to realize we are the United States of political correctness. They have to have everything. You know, our freedom of speech is as long as you say it inside your house, the closed door with the windows and blinds closed.
That's the spirit.
Yep. Finally, WWE Tag Team Champions of the World, Daniel Bryan and Kane take on Damian Sandow and Cody Rhodes with the primetime players Tyson Kidd and Justin Gabriel and the Colognes all at ringside.
I might be wrong about the Colognes. I read a review or two that said it was the Usos, but they were pretty much
off. It was the Usos. It was, yes.
Yeah, okay. Yes. I got that wrong, but it doesn't matter because what happened, Joe?
Kane and Daniel Bryan are rolling along. Cody Rhodes brings in a chair. Bryan stops him from hitting Kane. And then all hell breaks loose. Or no, Kane gets hit with the chair. And then all hell breaks loose. And Bryan ends up with the chair. He takes out Rhodes. They both grab chairs. Bryan hands his chair to Kane. Grabs another chair. And they just go off on Damian Sandow with the chairs. And then everybody else goes to leave, and Kane's like, screw this. He goes and throws them back in one by one for Daniel Bryan to hit him with the chairs. Kane comes back in. They both start hitting the other guys with the chairs, and then they just hand each other the tag team title belts, stand tall, and then start arguing again. that was good stuff. I highly enjoyed that segment.
It was entertaining. I mean, I would be a liar if I said it didn't, you know, make me laugh and you know, stay engaged with it. But I don't know if you guys got the segment backstage with Vince McMahon chuckling about how he destroyed the momentum that WWE had built for the tag team division while stroking his cat and muttering, "Next time, catch it! Next time!" I don't know. It's my favorite part of the show, actually. But if you know, that's the problem, though. That was the only criticism I had of it, is it's just, okay, well, now how do we take any of these teams seriously? You know, it's going to take some time for them to rebuild it, or else they got to bring in, like, the Ascension or somebody new who can actually be considered a viable threat to finally get the titles off Team right. Friendship, because it's a matter of time. I mean, yes, it was enjoyable, but holy overkill, Batman, this week. I mean, what was it, like, 7 out of the 11 segments or something was around these guys, and they're doing what they did with AJ once she started to have a pretty big following and people are interested. They just started cramming her into every segment, and now AJ is irrelevant, at least to me. I don't care about her anymore at all.
I'm gonna tell you right now, Liz, I'm gonna cut you off right there. I'm gonna tell you right now, I have 6th row tickets to SmackDown this week, and if every single segment on the show is Team Friendship, I will be happy with that. I love those guys. It's great.
Oh yeah, right now. But that's kind of.
Oh no, I mean, if it's every single week and it's this much, it's gonna get old.
Yeah.
But right now, I'm highly entertained by it, and I will watch it as much as they want to show it.
I just think this week was a week that Kid and what was his name again? Gabriel were allowed to be a tag team, whereas a few weeks ago when they had the match for the number one contender, they weren't even in it. They weren't even allowed to be in the match.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know what else is kind of interesting is that, you know, my criticism being the oversaturation of a good thing. The funny thing about it is, if you go back, I think this really became apparent at the WrestleMania mark or so. All of these things that have been, you know, kind of overkill have all had Daniel Bryan in it, and I'm not sick of him at all. So I suppose I could criticize my own criticism and say that there is something positive in this, is that he's being elevated. So, I not to be too harsh, I know I really have a bad tendency at falling into that trend. That's my personality, and I apologize for it, because sometimes I can be a little bit too much. But Daniel Bryan has been the benefactor of this, whether it's been AJ and Punk and Kane. Well, actually, Kane's been involved in a lot of it, too, come to think of it. But he doesn't really need wins anymore, whereas Daniel Bryan is really solidifying himself as a main event player to the point where, you know, I guess he's satisfying this one big pool. They still need more guys, but anyway, that's just a random thought that I had when I was thinking about this review as we were talking about it. It's like, Bryan is the guy who kind of has benefited, and yet he's not overkill. It's really odd. I guess he's just that good.
Yeah. I mean, he's definitely making these segments highly entertaining, especially, you know, the opening segment. I have my emotions under control. That's why I'm the tag team champions, because I am at one with my emotions. And then by the end of the segment, he's just going nuts, you know?
Yeah, it was awesome, his facial expression when they asked him to come in for the group hug. Like, it's like he told a story just with his face. It's like he was about to cry. He's like, really? You guys really like me?
Yeah, it was great, because he seemed like he felt left out when they hugged. He's like, no, 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 and Edge is like, Daniel, come here. It's good stuff. I'm highly enjoying it. Like I said, I mean, if they fill SmackDown with that next week, I will be highly entertained, and I will think I got my money's worth.
Are you gonna do the review next week, so you can tell us what they don't show us that happened, like three Sin Cara Heath Slater matches off camera?
I will likely be tweeting through the whole show, like I do on Fridays with SmackDown. In fact, not this week coming up, but the following week, I'm gonna start live tweeting SmackDown from the Bored Wrestling Fan Twitter account. I'm going to start live tweeting SmackDown from @BirdWrestlingFin instead of from my personal account, just because I think, hey, what the hell, we have a Twitter, we might as well use it for more than just, hey, here's our review, here's our latest podcast. What do you say we take a break?
Okay.
All right, take a 3-minute break here. This is No Effects, and this song is called Radio by request from G. We'll be right back. Long time, many people have suffered.
Love of another kind. Here it is. Here I am, turn it up fucking loud. Seven. I was a quiet boy, you showed me no heaven. Two idols surely lost. Radio, radio, radio. No remorse, ignore it, the cost. Radio, radio, radio. Everybody.
Radio, radio, radio. Radio, radio, radio.
When I've got the music, I've got the place to go.
All right, Radio by NOFX, our break song for the week, I guess. We will put in our article the link to buy the song, I guess. Would make sense. Are we all back? I know JT's
here.
All right, we're all here. All right.
Yeah, I was able to do some juicing. I mean, get some juice during the break, so much appreciated.
Yeah, I I had to grab another Pepsi, so good.
You know, I have Pepsi One, and it's supposed to have one calorie, and it does, and it says calorie zero.
Interesting. I'm drinking Pepsi next, and it's the preferred drink of Think Sojo.
And NXT. Ba-dum-psh.
All right, so what's this about you trolling some Orton fans this week?
I just was bored and it popped up on my feed and I had some fun. So I'm sitting there and I get this image, you know, loaded into the feed. I don't know how well you can see it, but if people wanted, you know, like for the smile of Viper and or comment below, and I hate these things to be honest with you, but you put Orton in the mix and I just... the evil comes out. So at least I censored the people's names in the pic. Cena fans, join here is the first comment. And the next guy is, love you, Randy. I'm sure you do, D. And next guy, I would call V. He just put out MAST, MAST. So, of course, I was like, what the fuck does that mean? Oddly enough, the next guy's like the Apex Predator. And I'm like, well, we might have just caught one here.
That was Kayfabe News this week. Kayfabe News had an article. It was Randy Orton nabbed by Dateline NBC's To Catch an Apex Predator.
Well, I just decided, okay, I'm going to write something. And I put, robots can grow facial hair? Cool! Turns out that was the correct answer.
Ah, that's good. That's good.
Gotta troll the fans once in a while. It makes them feel special.
All right. Jerry the King Lawler was released from a hospital in Montreal on Monday and went back home to Memphis. WWE released a statement saying, we continue to wish Jerry all the best and we look forward to him returning to WWE in the future. Jerry is scheduled for an interview on next week's Raw to discuss how he's doing, presumably via satellite. Jerry, by the way, I don't know if you saw, he had a press conference in Memphis on Tuesday.
Yeah, I heard about that. Did you get to catch it? Or
I saw the entire thing. It was 15 minutes. Basically, Jerry saying he's doing well. Gave credit to Michael Cole and to Dr. Samson for pretty much saving his life. He mentioned that he didn't remember anything after the CM Punk Bret Hart confrontation at the beginning of the show. He didn't even remember that he wrestled that night. He said that his girlfriend Lauren showed him video of his match, and he said it might as well have been 10 years ago. He like a match he didn't remember. Basically he said, you know, he's just basically going to follow the doctor's orders. Yeah, it was a massive heart attack, but because of his lifestyle, having never had a sip of alcohol, never even held a cigarette, he's very healthy for a guy that just had a heart attack. And, you know, so it's just a matter of waiting out the recovery period. And basically, he, you know, said he's doing well.
he said his sent his girlfriend to the store to buy some like healthy foods, and the mayor of Memphis ran into her at the store, wrote down, "Jerry, get well. Memphis needs you." So, yeah, I mean, King looks like he's doing okay. You know, he had a you know, raspy voice, I guess, from the breathing tubes and all that being shoved down his throat for a week. But he looks like he's doing well, and, you know, glad to see the King's doing well. Sorry that his Cleveland Browns are losing to the Buffalo Bills right now. But at least they took out C.J. Spiller. anyway, we talked about this earlier during Raw. Ryback accidentally tossed a live mic into the crowd as he was cleaning house following Miz TV, and a fan who grabbed it started chanting Goldberg. WWE's ring crew chased him down and took it back, but the audio went out over the live sound system. WWE officials were caught off guard by the "We Want Nexus" chants during Wade Barrett versus Justin Gabriel on Raw. So, wow. Nexus was popular, man. Yeah. Even I own a Nexus shirt. I own a new Nexus shirt, but you know, it's still a Nexus shirt.
Well, basically, you know, everybody loved it because you thought it was going to be something, and then I just didn't really end up going into... I did up sending it, WWE squished it before it could actually do anything.
Uh-huh. But, I mean, I own the CM Punk Nexus shirt, so I want Nexus 2, damn it. Almost every Cena sucks sign at ringside was confiscated last night, most of them visible on the camera throughout the crowd as well. G wonders.
Oh, you know, does this have anything to do with Linda's campaign? And by that, of course, I mean tying into the breast cancer awareness thing.
Right, right.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I was like, well, it's probably because of the breast cancer thing, but yeah.
Let me tell you, earlier in the week... I after I watched Raw again, or at least the opening segment of Raw, I tweeted to John Cena and I told him, Punk kicked out of 2 GTSs, broke the STF twice. Yeah, I'd say he's earned respect. And then later on, I said, you know, as much as I hate John Cena the character, I cannot hate John Cena the person. And I put, you know, hashtag rise above cancer. And I think it's really cool that they're doing the tie-in with the Susan B. Komen Foundation. And, you know, yeah, John Cena's probably the guy to do it, you know, but,
my whole thing, I don't want this to sound off that I'm kind of annoyed with the whole everybody focuses on breast cancer deal. I think it should just be cancer, period. We should
absolutely.
As someone who's had it, obviously, close in their lifetime, I think we should not just focus. It should just be against cancer, period. Not this whole breast cancer, you know, this or that. It should be, you know, we should be this a fight against cancer, and not just specify on, you know, on one part of the body.
I agree with you, and in fact, I read something that Cena said about the reason that he's sponsoring the breast cancer thing is because his brother had brain cancer, and the reason that he wants to, you know, focus on, you know, put the focus on, you know, breast cancer is because there's a big, you know, they want to get the awareness out there for breast cancer. And of course, if they figure out breast cancer, you know, brain cancer and other kind of cancers can't be too far off, you would think.
I think JT makes a really valid criticism, though.
I agree. Mean, I'm not disagreeing with him.
And my whole thing about it is it's everywhere you see it's, you know, breast cancer. Well, I'm aware that breast cancer, because maybe it's because it's the pretty cancer. It's not like, because they can go out with a catchphrase saying save the boobies, or not like when someone has like brain cancer or, you know, throat cancer or testicular cancer, you know, so, you know, maybe it's, you know, maybe that's why it's always more focused, but I think it should just be cancer awareness and just say, you know, that's just my whole thing on it. And it's not that I'm not saying it's not good. It's all good. I would just say we focus more on cancer, not just saying.
No, I agree with you 100%. You're absolutely right on that. But I mean, you know, at least let's get the focus on some kind of cancer. And once they find a
when they find a cure for any kind of cancer, they're going to figure out the other cancers.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, well, sure, if like, I mean, you know, pretty cancer is kind of a weird way of putting it,
well, you know what I mean?
But I get where you're coming from on that.
They had the whole, I said pretty, because, you know, they had one
of I get exactly what you mean. I'm just saying that, you know, it's a weird way to say it, but I get what you mean. So you know, why not put the focus on the, you know, quote-unquote pretty cancer, and we'll, you know, once they figure that out, then you can figure out the brain cancer and the throat cancer and the liver cancer and stomach cancer and all that stuff.
Said it was pretty because they had the whole save.
I get you. I completely understand where you're coming from. Not criticizing your choice of words. I'm just saying it's kind of a you know, weird way of saying it.
one strange weird fact on breast cancer too, and we can go, move on. Guess who is a breast cancer survivor?
Who?
Peter Criss from Kiss.
Really? Yeah. I was not aware of that.
Yeah, look up. He was on that metal show a few years ago, and he talks about it.
Huh.
Yeah.
All right. Well, speaking of John Cena, because that's what we were speaking about, he suffered an injury to his left ankle early in the match with CM Punk at Night of Champions. He was badly swollen after the match was over. WWE.com made a surprising John Cena announcement. WWE.com has learned that John Cena had surgery to remove bone chips in his elbow. Cena is expected to recover in 2 to 3 weeks. An update on his recovery time is expected Thursday when he's reevaluated. As more information comes available, WWE.com will inform the WWE Universe.
So remember to tune in this Monday, folks, for the triumphant return of John Cena. Well, you know, he's going to be on the show in some capacity. I don't expect him to wrestle, but Cena got a little bit irritated with the website, didn't he, guys?
Yes, and this is what makes me think that you're right, and we're going to see John Cena, maybe not this Monday, but the following Monday, back in action. And I mean back in action. I don't mean, like, he's just there to talk. I mean he's wrestling on the damn show because, you know, listen, these are quotes from John Cena. And then I'll get back to my thought here. Quote, some jackwagon from WWE.com apparently posted me recovering in 14 days. I spoke in depth with my surgeon, Dr. James Andrews, and he specifically told me that due to the amount of fragmentation, 6 weeks is a safer timetable for recovery. I apologize on behalf of a website whose credibility is now equal to The Onion. Please, WWE web guys, get your monkey franken facts straight. You folks have my word, I will try my best to get healthy as quick as I can, and I'm sure I won't stay away from Raw, but as for now, I'm supposed to lay low for 6 weeks. I will send surgery photos and video to WWE so they can see how bad it really was. I'm also sure that if WWE took a second to reach out to the actual surgeon, that Dr. Andrews would gladly comment. Hashtag internet malpractice. Okay, I'm off the soapbox and back to being just a one-armed man. Enjoy your day. This is all from John Cena's Twitter account. Now, this is what makes me think that this is a work. It's because every time John Cena gets hurt, it's a work. John Cena is expected to recover in 6 months. John Cena's back at the Royal Rumble. You know, he got injured in December.
Well, he said he doubled the amount of prayers he said, and he took doubled the amount of vitamins he took.
Yeah. Brother.
Brother.
But, I mean, seriously, if WWE.com is reporting he's injured, he'll be out for 2 weeks. Now John Cena's making a big deal of it. Like, no, that's not what you were supposed to say. You know?
Remember that time when John Cena was fired?
Yeah, and he was on Raw the next week.
Well, you know, he's got to be off for at least a week. He is the one-armed man, after all. He's got to go frame the fugitive. If any of you guys get my reference.
Yeah, I get it. He'll be back before Christian.
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe I'll show up at TNA, you know, to watch Lex Luger induct Sting into the Hall of Fame.
He's going to be there to induct Kurt Angle. Sonny.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. Sonny. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to point out, I do agree with the point you make with, you know, they swerved. Well, It's very, very debatable. If it depends what camp you believe, that he just healed quicker and, you know, showed up as a surprise, or if it was a conspiracy, you know, to you know, have a nice markout moment for Cena fans in that Royal Rumble you were talking about. Although he did show up between the injury and the Royal Rumble at one of the tribute to the troops that year. He was Santa. So it's why I'm thinking, even if he can't wrestle, he's going to be on TV. Just get the character can come out and do something. And this whole Hell in the Cell thing is going to be up in the air. And that also, you know, puts a big question mark over how much of this is true and how much of it is a work. But part of me wants to believe that, you know, the guy actually does need 6 weeks, and he's just telling them to stop being idiots, because he hasn't had really any time off since 2003, I recall, other than that one injury. That's it. Unless I'm forgetting, like, 1 week or something, he was, you know, filming a movie.
Remember, he was fired for a week.
Yeah.
Or two. But then he was still there.
Half a show, yeah.
Here's the thing, though, is WWE, after the John Cena quick return of the Royal Rumble, they did it with Edge, and they did it with somebody else, too. So it was like, it's not like, you know, it's credible to believe a WWE injury report, you know, especially when it comes to John Cena. But Cena will definitely be part of the show. I can promise you that much, injured or not.
The thing that would kind of maybe leave a bad taste in some people's mouth would be what happened with Lawler, though, if they do that. I mean, you know there's going to be people who are going to, you know, just go off on that. I assure you it will happen. I probably will be one of them, to be honest with you. Yeah. In a couple of weeks. Just because it's like, it's only a week removed that we almost watched a legend die on TV Live. They should just, I think for, you know, taste, they have to be really careful what they do here. I'm not going to say what they have to do, but whatever they choose to do, I should be more clear that they need to consider that, because there will be a bit of a backlash. I and justifiably so, if you ask me, but I'm just one Mark or Smark or whatever the hell I am.
Yeah.
Canadian, that's what I am.
Yeah.
Now, but see, the thing is now, yes, they announced on WWE.com and all that for him being injured. But the thing is, though, on TV, he wasn't really announced that he was having surgery. So I think that's how they can play it off, though. Unless they go tomorrow night and announce he was injured and had surgery.
They mentioned it on SmackDown, didn't they? I thought they mentioned it on SmackDown that he had bone fragments in his arm and he went to get surgery.
Yeah, I think they did, actually. It was in the recap highlight video. They talked about that either with the Throw 2 or when they came back. I was doing my laundry speedrun during that part, but I remember catching that now.
This is what DVR has done, people.
Yeah.
We forget things way too easy.
Mm-hmm. It was only 2 days ago, JT. Jeez.
Hey, man, I forget stuff, like, immediately after the show ends, so I'm not going to understand.
I'm the same way. I'm one of those, I used to read a book in school. I'd read, like, a page of a book, and I wouldn't even remember anything that said on it.
All right, moving on. Sunny removed all references to choking out her boyfriend and being asked to be on Dr. Phil from her Facebook page. Go ahead, G, read your line.
Too late, Sonny. The internet's no. You can't clearance yourself out of this one.
Claire Lynch couldn't clearance her way out of it either. We all knew. We all saw her infomercials and her Popeye pictures.
And her Subway ad. She's buddies with Jared, so she's going to be in WWE soon. It's going to be awesome.
Oh, there's going to be your spoiler new Divas champion right there.
Jeez.
There will be a room on the roster spot. We're going to get to that shortly.
Yeah, sadly, we're going to get to that shortly. Antonio Cesaro mocked Zack Ryder on WWE.com after the pay-per-view by saying, "Woo, woo, woo, you know it," in 5 different languages. His next feud is expected to be with Brodus Clay. Of course, then again, he lost to Santino on SmackDown, rather. So, Who knows?
They're going to be doing some sort of change to the Cesaro character with Oksana out of the picture. I alluded to the fact that I have a bad feeling it's going to involve Santino, but, you know, come to think of it, it could also involve this Encore group, too.
True.
So, I guess we'll have to wait and find out. I don't know. I would prefer the faction thing. I mean, it kind of goes back to, you know, what we were talking about with Nexus. There's room for it in wrestling. It just has to be handled convincingly. And, yeah. Well, we probably shouldn't get our hopes up, but...
No. Here's some good news. Is that Impact Wrestling will remain live for the rest of the year. There will be a few episodes taped due to the holidays, though. Monday, November 12th and Tuesday, November 13th. And Monday, December 10th and Tuesday, December 11th will be taped. Will be television tapings for episodes during the holidays. But Impact has been so much better as it's been live than it was prior to becoming a live show. So, good for them. That's good for TNA.
Absolutely. You know, this week wasn't stellar. You know, in the last few weeks, there's been a couple misses, but overall, the show has vastly improved. I think a big part of it comes down to it forces them to slow things down, and that's probably the easiest criticism to make about everything they did for about 2 years leading up to it. Probably best represented by the first night that they went live against Raw, where they had about 8 million angles. You know, Val Venus. Whatever happened to Val Venus?
Who knows?
Disappeared.
The thing about it is TNA never did a live Impact before, or if they did, they did like one before that night, and they were trying to go head to head with Raw, who had done the long ass time against Monday Nitro. And if you watched both shows at once, if you watched them like picture in picture. As soon as TNA went to their first commercial, WWE had Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart hug that very second.
Yep.
That very second they hugged. So somebody's watching Impact, oh, the commercial, let's see what's going on in Raw. Holy shit! You know?
Yeah, I'm not changing the channel, that's for sure.
Impact didn't stand a chance going against Raw. Not a chance!
It wasn't a bad episode of Impact, even though I'm critical of them jam-packing so many angles into it.
They came back from the break with Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, and X-Pac.
Well, they tried, but it was the trend that never went away that I'm kind of being more critical of. But you make a good point that they at least the WWE made it apparent that they weren't ignoring the existence of the so-called, lesser tier show in Orlando.
Right.
It'd be very difficult for me to, believe that that was a coincidence. That just seems a little bit too far-fetched. It's like, no, you guys know they're trying to compete, so. But I watched both episodes. I can't remember if I watched either of them live. I'm pretty sure I didn't that night, because I pretty much regularly work on Monday night until about 11, so. I don't remember what I was doing on January 4th of 2009. Oddly enough, remember the date.
I was home. I was watching both shows. I think probably till I had to leave for work, because I still lived in Niagara Falls then.
I watched. I said F you to TNA because I knew TNA was replaying on Thursday, and I watched Raw. I'm like, that's where it failed right there, because people weren't going to watch. If you know that the replay is going to play, if you're going to choose between two shows, one's going to be replayed way later in the week, and one's only one shot, I'm going to choose the one shot and watch the replay.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. It's just, why are you going to watch one show? And that, but the thing is, Nitro replayed right after, and people still watch Nitro. So who knows?
Yeah, but see that's a little bit different, because that was later on. And see, I'm talking about, like, because they played at the same time on Thursday as they played at the same time on Monday.
You're right. Yeah,
I'm not gonna stay up till unless I'm a night owl, which I'm not. I'm not gonna stay, or I'm work till 11 o'clock. I'm not gonna stay up till 2 a.m. and watch a wrestling show after watching Raw.
True.
You guys remember that one episode of Nitro that they had the Hulk Hogan versus the Giant match, and they had it through that stupid movie that Sting was in, that they played the match during the commercial breaks?
I vaguely remember that. I don't think I watched it, but I vaguely remember them promoting that.
It was like 1996. It was like right at the beginning of like the NWO, and like they just commandeered the title, and like he's wrestling the Giant. And it's like, we're gonna have coverage of the match during the commercial break, and it was a show. I'm not exactly sure if it was a movie or if it was a show, but I'm pretty sure it was a TV show, but it had Sting in it.
I thought it was a movie. It could have been a TV show.
I'm not sure. You know what? It probably was a movie. I think it was a movie.
Let's see. He was featured in a Sprite commercial in 1999. Also appeared in 3 episodes of the Action Adventure series in Hulk Hogan Vehicle Thunder in Paradise. Made an appearance on Walker Texas Ranger. He appeared in Ready to Rumble. He was a drug dealer in the Walker Texas Ranger episode he was in. He appeared in the Christian film The Encounter, as well as the lead actor in the TV movie Shutter Speed.
That's it.
Shutter Speed. Let's see here.
I think that's what it was. He was some combat guy.
Took me to the IMDb page here. Let's see if I can. Maybe there's trivia. Did you know? See more. Maybe it'll say in here. No, it doesn't show me anything. All right. I vaguely remember that, though. I do.
Now that I just completely drawn us up way off track.
That's all right. We can get right back on track by talking about Vince McMahon flew from Connecticut to Montreal in his personal jet on Monday just to pick up Jerry the King Lawler from the hospital, take him to Memphis, and then turn around and go back to Connecticut in time for Monday Night Raw. McMahon is also the man who directed WWE to produce and release their new Long Live the King t-shirts.
Question. And this is one I've been talking with people online for this week and a few boards. Is the WWE right to capitalize on Lawler almost dying on their show with a new shirt? Now, I know this sounds like a loaded question, but shouldn't there be some sort of charitable contribution towards preventing heart attacks with this t-shirt?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm thinking is, do we know where the proceeds are going? Is it going straight to WWE, or is it going to Jerry's medical bills, or what? I mean,
no announcement's been made, as far as I know, and seen some people really tearing a new one out of each other over this topic. My point was, look, they could have made the shirt, or they could not have made the shirt, but I would believe that Lawler merchandise would be up in sales regardless. You know, I know whenever, you know, someone's passed away, probably the most notable was Eddie Guerrero. His merch spiked.
Yeah.
And you know, while they weren't donating anything to charity, and I know this, again, not to sound tasteless, they did actually do something charitable, Vicky Guerrero a job.
Yeah.
But shouldn't, I would like to know what their incentive is here. I'm not going to buy a shirt, regardless, I won't lie to you. I want Jerry, you know, the King Lawler to be better and everything like that. Not because of that, but it does. It is a little bit, seemingly a little bit tasteless to not have some sort of charitable donation involved. I don't know. Just throwing it out there to you guys and the listeners, because it's a valid criticism, I think.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, we don't know for sure where it's going, what it's doing, who knows.
True. I agree.
All right, well, I guess we'll follow this story, I guess, and see where it goes. But
because I'm on the WWE shop line right now, and there's nothing saying on it anyway. It just says Jerry Lawler merchandise, and it's got that shirt on it. So
I'm sure Jerry gets some of the money from it. It is a Jerry Lawler, Jerry Lawler memorabilia. Who knows?
Yeah, I just Google searched in the news, new Jerry Lawler shirt for charity. I got one result and has nothing to do with it, so.
Who knows?
It's a mystery, folks.
It's So is Evolution.
It's Evolution, baby.
Come on. Oh, boy. All right. What's next?
Tokyo Sports.
Tokyo Sport is reporting that WWE and All Japan Pro Wrestling have forged an alliance to work together, though the exact implications of what relationship is and what it entails have yet to be revealed. John Laurinaitis of WWE did indeed speak with Kaz Hayashi of AJPW and another official about the possibility of an AJPW being as a developmental territory for WWE. Since the meeting went well, the two sides will work together going forward. It's interesting. Developmental territory. All Japan Pro Wrestling, developmental territory for WWE.
You know, there's other rumors out there, nothing confirmed about talent exchanges. Big Show's name's popped up in it, but like I said, unconfirmed. I mean, it's kind of odd they would slap that label on them. Although, it wouldn't be shocking to me if AGPW is calling the WWE their developmental territory too, though, huh?
Right, right, that's true.
But I think this could be a good thing. I mean, we could see some really good talent coming over, and if it ends up giving us some fresh faces on the show, I'm all for it.
Absolutely. All right, next. Wade Barrett says the call was a huge mistake. I certainly wouldn't reform the call, Mr. Journalist. In fact, the call may be my greatest regret in about 9 years of wrestling at every level. I'd burn the history books if I could. The call are equals, they cried. Kiss my English backside, you clowns. Hashtag Barrett Barrage. Interesting.
Yeah, fun. It oddly enough ties into the encore of this week, which I had no clue when I put this in here.
Yeah.
But he's right. He's right. The core was doomed at the start. They might have had an opportunity to capitalize on it, but instead they just jobbed them out and made them all look pathetic and weak. And, luckily Heath Slater's managed to find a niche. Justin Gabriel has found a yellow shirt.
Yeah. And Ezekiel Jackson found an injury.
There it was. That's who it was.
Yeah.
I was just wondering what the hell happened to him.
I gotta get away from what I'm doing here. A buddy of mine got me the ability to watch the 49ers game. JBL fans will have to wait to see him again. Here's what he said on his Facebook. Getting ready to go to Africa to climb Mount Kilimanjaro to raise money for the kids I work with every week in Bermuda. Had a blast at WWE and very grateful for nice feedback. Don't know the future. I was asked to fill in for King, and my only hope is that he gets better. My only plans now are to go to Africa and climb to the top of Kilimanjaro. I leave Friday. When I return, we will be starting up our program for this year in Bermuda, so I have a very busy fall schedule ahead of me. The dangerous mountain I have ahead of me in January is when I attempt to climb a Aconcagua in South America. They call it Mount Death. So here's wishing JBL the best in his mountain climbing endeavors. I did send him a tweet telling him I'm hoping for the best. Hope he comes back safe. Hope he makes it to the top of this one. You know?
Yeah, good luck.
I don't know if there's much more to say.
Yeah,
you can't really, you know, hate on the guy. That was his goal. No one expected, you know, what happened, and they needed to fill in. And he gave us a treat for a pay-per-view in a Raw. But, yeah, more power to JBL, and We'll see what they have in store for us on Raw, who sits in the chair beside Michael Cole, I guess.
Yeah. All right. Well, how over...
Right, I got this one. This is my story.
Feel free. Go ahead.
Okay, this is basically on how, you know, obviously we were talking about how awesome, you know, Daniel Bryan is. And, well, I hate to admit it, but I don't watch all of them, but I do watch one of those daytime talk shows. And it's the Steve Wilkos show. And for those who don't know who he is, he used to be a security guard on the Jerry Springer show, and he got his own show, and it's kind of a little bit more serious, but whatever. I was watching the show on Friday, and he asked, it's the usual formula where a guy comes on, wants, they have the DNA tests and the lie detector test. Well, he asked one of the guests to take a lie detector test, and he said no. He turns to the crowd, and he asks the crowd, should he take a lie detector test? The crowd goes, yes, but not normal yes. Daniel Bryan, yes, 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 chance.
You know, I mean, a lot of people give pro wrestling a ton of shit, you know? It's like, oh, it's a fake sport, and it's not real, and blah, blah, blah. And then you watch real sports, and they're over there doing shit that you see on pro wrestling. Like, okay, yeah, it might not be a, it might not be, you know, a real sport, but it transcends entertainment. It goes into real sports. You'll see guys, you know, a few years ago, everybody was doing the John Cena "You Can't See Me" thing. You know, what was it, the NBA champions a few years ago had world heavyweight championships made for them? You know?
Yeah, yeah. There was, I think it was a Toronto Blue Jays pitcher who did like the water deal that Triple H does last season.
Yeah,
I think it was the Blue Jays, right? I know it was a pitcher because my buddy who writes for us over at BoardHockeyFan.com, he showed me the video. He's like, you're gonna love this, Chief, and he was right.
I think it was the Detroit Pistons when they won the title the last time with someone that had the world titles made.
Yeah, I think you're right. I'm pretty sure that was it.
But yeah, no, I was watching the program and it was like a total mark out. I'm like no fucking way. Am I watching a pre-taped? But then again, also too, the show is also taped out of Stamford, Connecticut, too.
Yeah, it's true. All right. There's a question here, and is this G's question?
Indeed, it is. Goes back to, you know, the finish at the pay-per-view, as well as what happened with CM Punk in the main event on Raw. Now, without getting into, you know, the same topic of like, is this going to be a trend? I'm just wondering, what do you guys think? Because you follow the NFL. Is this kind of a take on the replacement ref controversy that's going on?
I felt like it was. I'm kind of watching them like, oh, I see what they're doing. I see what you did there. You know, one of those kind of things. But, you know, it could just be something, hey, let's do this for the sake of doing it. But WWE does tend to, WWE transcends sports and entertainment, goes to other sports, and they imitate. But WWE imitates life. You know, I mean, if there is some kind of controversy going on in the National Football League, you could bet WWE is going to be right on top of that. You know, they had the, they had a thing going on with, I forgot what happened. Something on Monday Night Football, there was some kind of controversial thing. And then a couple of weeks later, they're in Raw's in Buffalo, and they're making fun of you know, whatever the Monday Night Football thing was in their opening segment. And then there was the whole thing with the Denver what's the basketball team, the Nuggets?
The Nuggets.
Yeah.
Where they're like, oh no, you can't play in our building because we're playing here. You can't have your show. And WWE was like, well, screw this, we're going to L.A. And then they made fun of it throughout the whole show. You know, it's just, you know, WWE will take something controversial going on elsewhere and make it their own.
Yeah. I think it does play a little bit, but I also think, like, at the end of Raw, I think that ref might be a rook, and he will be
I've never seen that referee before.
He will be the ref in the next John Cena versus CM Punk match, and, you know, we get, like, another Danny Davis / Nick Patrick, you know, where he becomes a part of, you know, the pack, you know, Heyman, the pack with Heyman and Punk.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I've never seen the guy before, so who knows?
Yeah. He was NXT or FCW, one or the other. I can't remember which, but...
Well, I'm sure he was from one of those, but I mean, just, you never seen him on WWE television before. Like, actual, like, Raw, SmackDown, you know, television.
That's why I've got that one. That's the other ones. No, I think that's why I think this guy. I think this guy's kind of. That's why I think it with this guy. I don't think it with the other Ross, but.
Yeah, as long as it's not Garrett Bischoff, I'm okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if it'll continue or not. But you know, I don't mind when they mirror real life. I'm cool with that actually. But. Because I'm not following the sport well enough, I wasn't sure if there were subtle references I was missing. I've heard about, you know, some, well, you know, real controversial calls, but other than that, you know.
Basically, on my front, I've heard two. I like football. I'm a football fan. I don't watch a whole lot of it except for the Super Bowl, pretty much, because it's pretty much in my house, what pretty much I'm allowed to do. So, all I know about it's just been through, you know, the interwebs, you know, in the spacey space here, you know, people bitching about it.
Yeah. No, I totally see it as, hey, look what's going on in football. Hey, we could do something like that.
We were the creators of it. We were the originators of it.
Yeah. Something like that. Who knows? You know?
Soon. Coming soon to WWE DVD, a 3-disc set. Greatest ref screw jobs.
Yeah. Why not? They have a 3-disc set for one match. You could buy it on our shop just click store at the top of the webpage. Anyway, and just when you thought the Diva division of WWE couldn't get any worse, I hate this news article. I hate this. Beth Phoenix has given her notice and will be leaving after she works the remainder of her contracted dates. She'll be able to keep her in-ring name since she already had it before she came to WWE in 2005. I hate this news story. I mean, the good thing is she's not leaving for like another month or so perhaps she'll get one last Buffalo match in the WWE this Tuesday at SmackDown. It sucks because she's our Buffalo connection, man. There's no other Buffalo wrestlers in WWE right now, and you know they're not gonna go out and look for one just because they're losing one. Beth Phoenix is so over here, you know. It's not like, you know, it's not like anywhere else in the country where it's just like, oh, Diva's match, let's go to sleep. It's like, oh, shit, Beth Phoenix match, let's go, Buffalo! You know? So, here's hoping we at least get Beth one more time in Buffalo here on SmackDown on Tuesday night. I don't know. It sucks. I don't like it.
Well, yeah, I don't have the Buffalo connection, but you know, just as a fan of wrestling, we're down to a very, very small number of divas who can work.
I was just going to say, the diva division's pretty much revolving around, like, three people anyway. And you got Beth Phoenix and Natalya, who are supposed to be the best ones. And they're getting treated like freaking... They're getting treated like shit. So, you know, I don't blame her for leaving, because it's basically going to be... It's either... Right now, it's going to be about revolved around Eve and Layla, and you know, it's just that's, you know, and they're basically, come on, up until right after Raw 1000, the Diva division disappeared, so for a while, so
true.
Well, the Diva division became AJ, that's why.
right.
A lover or hater, that's what it was, and I don't know, I wonder if she'll pop up on the indie scene, or she's just going to move on. I guess we'll have to wait and see, or you know, God forbid they realize what they're losing and offer something, you know, make her convince her to stay. It's terrible news, Joe. I don't blame you for hating it, because I think we all do.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just worse for me, because first of all, we barely ever got Beth Phoenix on the shows in Buffalo anyway, because she's been a heel and they didn't want us cheering for her. The exception being she turned face. She faced Lay Cool a couple of years ago, which was her last match before she went down with her injury. And last year we had her for Night of Champions, and she was a heel, but everybody was behind her and she still lost, which sucked. You know? So hopefully they'll put her on SmackDown on Tuesday, or you know, at the very least, give her a dark match, give her something. It's her hometown, you know. She loves it here. We're huge fans of her here. It just sucks she's leaving, you know. But whatever, it is what it is, I guess. WWE believes that the 3-hour Raws are working, and they intend to stick with it for the foreseeable future, since USA Network pays them more for a 3-hour show than they do for a 2-hour one. Ugh.
Millions of dollars.
Well, I'm gonna go on the positive here, but then again, also I do fast forward through what I don't want to watch. But and I think that's basically on that part has made it more enjoyable for me to watch. You know, do I see John Cena on my screen and go, oh, I got to fast forward? No, I'll watch John Cena straight. I think for me personally that it has gotten better. The show has gotten better for the most part since it's gone the 3 hours. My only things are like I don't like the okay. What all the matches we had on Friday Night SmackDown are redone again. I don't like that they got it's, you know.
Yeah.
I spent 2 hours on Friday night watching it. I don't want to watch it on the Monday night. And they got to stop with the they got to stop going past 11. End it. You've got 3 hours. You can do this. You know, you can do this in 3 hours. You do it. Live, you do it once a month for a pay-per-view. You know, don't, you know, 3 hours is plenty. You don't need, you're going to 3 hours and 20, 15, 20 minutes. It's just, it's a little too much.
You get more time out of Monday Night Raw than you get out of the pay-per-views.
Yeah.
That's true. It's mind-boggling. Yeah. The overrun thing, I totally agree with you, JT. That to me is just bizarre. I know they're kind of, you know, messing with the numbers of the ratings for the people who are tuning in to watch whatever follows the show. I mean, that's well documented. They do that intentionally because it looks good to advertisers and yada, yada, yada. But how many of those people tuning in for the show just flip right back to something else because, oh, wrestling's still on, damn it.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. Do you think advertisers are really that stupid?
Probably.
Maybe a couple of them, but I don't know. I've always felt that idea just if I was running a multi-million or billion-dollar corporation buying advertising time, I would have people under my employ that have a clue.
Yeah.
I'd like to think that. If not, I'll have that job. I'll take your six figure salary. I think I could improve your advertising money being spent a little more wisely then, because all of us, you know, we're an advertising team now. Yeah. Tune in next week for Bored Advertising Fans Radio. Episode 1.
Yep. Oh, boy. And we have Bored Everything Else Fans, so why not? what else is going on? Anything interesting? WrestleMania 29 ticket sales are going. WrestleMania 29 tickets go on sale November 10th. I knew this a week and a half ago, so I don't know why all the news sites are just now catching this. But WrestleMania tickets go on sale November 10th.
And gee, two of your podcasting partners have birthdays that week, so
yes, that is true.
Well, as long as I can land this advertising job, you guys are set. Don't worry about it.
Sweet.
Oh, boy. What else is going on? Cena fans refunded. This is from a house show over the weekend.
Oh, yeah, with the Big Show, right?
Yeah, I think so. Due to John Cena's being pulled from his match last night at WWE House Show in White Plains, due to injury, fans were refunded if they asked by the second match. Jinder Mahal, Heath Slater, and Drew McIntyre will now be known as Encore for their new stable. And former WWE star Matt Hardy turns 38 years old today.
Wow.
Happy birthday, Matt Hardy!
I don't know what this Matt Hardy guy you're talking about is. It's
some internet guy? Yeah, some internet guy.
Okay. I know that guy. Okay.
All right, let's see what else. This is the last thing I got. There's nothing else going on this week. THQ has confirmed that the I Quit match will be returning to the upcoming WWE 13 game along with the King of the Ring tournament for the first time ever.
Below are the details for the matches. I Quit. The I Quit match finally makes its long-awaited return. It has been approximately 8 years since the match type had been featured in the franchise. The match type has been completely redesigned from top to bottom to provide players with the most authentic representation of the I Quit match ever seen in video game form. In keeping with WWE programming, the I Quit match is a one-on-one, no-holds-barred, anything-goes affair. Utilize anything and everything within the in-ring environment to force your opponent to say the humiliating words, I Quit! The I Quit minigame can also be triggered by applying a breaking point submission hold on an opponent. Just like in grounded situations, the referee will position himself near the trapped defender, wherein he will position the microphone in front of the competitor's face, complete the minigame successfully to break out of the submission hold, and continue the match. Failure to break out in some time will result in the loss. And as far as the King of the Ring, create your own King of the Ring tournament. Players are able to choose the number of participants, 4, 8, or 16, as well as the gender of the participants involved. That's right, divas can also take place in the King of the Ring tournament. Players can choose the type of match they'd like for the tournament: normal, backstage brawl, Hell in a Cell, Iron Man, ladder match, last man standing, steel cage, submission table, TLC, and Extreme Rules. There will be a special coronation cutscene shown for the winner of the tournament. So there you go, WWE 13 purchasers, future WWE 13 purchasers. That's what to expect from WWE 13. Anybody have anything else to add?
I guess Ryback got a serious cut in a house show in Sarnia, Ontario, Canada.
I didn't hear about that one yet.
Yeah, it was about a 2-minute match against Jinder Mahal, and they just kind of had to stop the match because of doctor's order, so... He might have a big scar, or he might be off TV. Who knows?
Yeah.
I'm looking through the news, man. There's not a lot here. I mean, there's results for a bunch of shows, and Mick Foley talking about, you know, his Christmas book, and then there's all this McMahon kerfuffle about their debtors, which I totally skipped intentionally because I don't think anyone really cares about the story. But that's the political stuff. Chris Murphy's all irritated about stuff that happened in 1976, so...
Yeah.
Wow.
All right.
Randy Orton is still a robot. Okay.
Do that.
Yeah, it's just...
That goes without saying.
He tweeted in binary. 11001101101. That's awesome. Hilarious. Okay.
All right. Well, then. I guess we're done for the week.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. Means I could go watch the 49ers, even though they're losing.
Let's see. Your NFL score is at the end. Buffalo is up on Cleveland, and yes, San Francisco is doing the job right now.
There's 3:39 left. The Vikings have the ball. They just got a first down.
Luckily, in a half an hour, the Raiders will get pummeled by the Steelers.
Yeah. All right, Chicago over St. Louis 20-6 right now in the fourth. Buffalo 24-14 in the fourth. Dallas 13-7 over Tampa Bay in the fourth. Also in the fourth, Jacksonville over Indianapolis 16-14. Miami by 4 over the Jets right now. Minnesota beating San Francisco. New Orleans beating Kansas City. Detroit and Tennessee tied at 27. Washington over Cincinnati. Cincinnati over Washington right now in the fourth quarter as we go off the air. Ladies and gentlemen, we will see you next week right here on Board Wrestling Fan Radio.